Welcome to Q&A with T&K. They've surfed the interwebs. They've contemplated, ruminated, and speculated. They've checked the teletype, and now they're ready to answer your questions. Here are your hosts, Tiffany and Kristen.
Welcome back to Q&A with T&K. We finished our last episode, Belonging Part 1, in the middle of a thought. So let's get rolling. Kristen, what's up?
So after the year's set and going, what are things that you do or could we do to engage with families throughout the year? What do you do?
I email a lot. I'm a good emailer.
I do too. I email a lot. Mm-hmm.
I like to send pictures and stuff when kids have a really good day, and I don't know. I like to be available in that way.
Yeah. Do you guys do any, like, family events, like family fun things?
We do holiday parties that are kid-designed. So the kids brainstorm what they want to share with their families, and then we invite the families in, and that's what we do.
Cool.
I like it.
It feels
just right for preschool.
Totally.
We also do parent nights where it's been like every other month we get together and talk about a certain topic, and it's nice to have parents together in a spot.
I like that idea. Do you meet at school or do you meet elsewhere?
The first time we met at school, now we meet at a like pub restaurant.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, it's nice to not worry about the food. That would be, unless your community is all about the potluck.
Right.
Going somewhere where you can just get food easily makes a big difference.
Totally.
Less stress.
Okay. So I'll tell you what we do.
Yeah.
Right now. Well, at like the Christmas time, we have the parents come in and we do cookies in the story. So we decorate cookies with the parents and then read just a snuggly story to everybody at one time. And then we do an impromptu singing session. So songs that we've been doing all year, not necessarily Christmas songs that are rehearsed. However, if Jingle Bells or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is sung, you know, over and over and over by a child and everybody else picks up on it and we start singing it, yeah, we'll sing that. And we actually did sing that this year because every day when we'd line up to come inside, we kind of only like let three kids go in at once to take off all their winter gear. And so we started singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to pass the time outside. And it's a fun, silly song. And so they learned that and really enjoyed it. So we did sing that at Christmas time for parents. And then recently we just had a family fun day out at our local state park. And it was supposed to be like snowshoeing and sledding and snow fun, but all the snow had melted that day. It was like 50 degrees, which is unheard of in Minnesota in February. So it was a lot of mud play. And we roasted hot dogs over the fire and did s'mores and had apple cider, and it was a potluck. And so that was super fun. It was outside and it just smelled like campfire and it was great. And then the families, unfortunately, you know, there's 60-some families, but only like 7 came. So it's hard because you plan and put so much time and energy into these things and then not very many people do it. I understand people are busy. So it's like, how do you get more people to show up for things like that? So then we did that, and then we'll do a big spring party this spring, and I'm going to be sneaky about it. So I'm planning it for a Saturday morning at 11. We're hired like a kid DJ to play outside on our outdoor stage, and it's going to be a potluck because we're in Minnesota, and people love their hot dish. So we're going to have a potluck, and they'll just get to play outside in our outdoor classroom, and then I'm sneakily going to put in an outdoor classroom cleanup right after that, I think.
That's brilliant.
Because we need a lot of volunteer work done in our outdoor classroom. It's 1 acre, and it's huge, and stuff needs to be stained and fixed and like old leaves raked up still from fall. And I mean, there's a lot that needs to be done. I don't know if that's necessarily a good idea, because I don't know, it's almost like guilting people to help.
Oh yeah. Maybe you could front load it and have that happen before. Come help, tidy up, and then we'll party after.
Ooh, that's a great idea, because we could start it at like 9 and do 2 hours of cleanup.
Yep.
And then party afterwards. I like that idea better. That
sounds good. I've been dreaming of having a mud day.
Ooh.
Where there's like a, we call it the troll bridge. There's this walk that we do because the school has a little bit of property. And we walk down to this troll bridge area, which is kind of like a marshy, wet area full of blackberries and some cool climbing trees. They're the kind of trees that are like, they're kind of like a really thick bush.
Yes.
What's that called?
I don't know.
I don't remember. But they have multiple trunks. It's not like one trunk that you climb up. It's like a lot of trunks, kind of like a nest already. There
we
are a bunch
of those. In my yard.
Yeah. There are a bunch of those down there, and it's kind of wet. And I dream of having all the families come, cleaning out all the blackberries, and building a mud pit.
Mm.
I think it would be really fun. And then all the kids could just wear, if it's warm enough, you know, shorts and bare feet and work shirts, swimsuits, something so that they're prepared to get muddy and then initiate the mud pit with a good
play. Maybe that should be your very first introductory meeting with the new families.
Yes.
Let's talk
some more about how to get individual kids feel like they belong.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because we've covered a lot about families.
Yeah.
Individual kids. Getting down to their level, I think. Not standing over them, but getting down and being eye to eye. And, you know, if they're sad, sympathizing with them. And I know you're sad. And trying to help them, you know. It's almost like you don't want to distract, but I think that's what we end up doing most of the time anyway, is like distraction, like trying getting them interested in something that's, So I don't know, like, what's the best way to go about that? Do you sympathize for a long time and not try to distract? Do you want them to know that it's okay to be sad? Or, I don't know, what do you think?
That's a tough one, because I think it depends on each kid.
Yeah, it does.
Some kids, they just don't know how to join.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to get involved in something without a person showing them how to get involved.
Yeah.
And other kids just need to be sad.
Yeah. I suppose that once, you know, if you sympathize, say you're sad, and then try to get them over to do a different activity, and if they're still upset once you've kind of introduced them into another activity or a different activity or a activity, we need to get them there.
Yeah. Especially on those first few days, that is such a weird thing for a kid. I don't know you. I don't have a relationship with you. I don't trust you. You seem nice, but I'm just going to be here with you all day?
Right.
That is weird.
With new people and new adults and new
It's not like going to grandma's house.
Right.
So how do you make it feel a little less shocking? I really love doing appointments where kids come in like the weekend before school, just them and their family, and they come in and we play with toys and I talk to them and just getting to know them a little bit more before. I know some places do home visits. Do you do home visits?
Yeah. No. I've thought about it. However, if I'm teaching multiple preschool classes, that could potentially be 50 home visits. And that's a lot of home visits. So I don't know how you would go about that with that many.
Is that like a divide and conquer? How many teachers are in the room at a time?
4. So if everybody did one, but then you have
to
get
into
in like
pairs, right? I don't know.
Yeah. And then you have to like say, okay, I'm going to pay you for every, as a director, I think of that, like, oh gosh, then I have to pay them for every home visit. That's a lot of extra hours to pay somebody for and to add into the budget.
Yeah, that's true. Although as a teacher, I want to do them this year and I don't expect to get paid for them.
Right. Yeah. I know, but then how, like, there's some people who don't want to do them.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to do them. But it's
Right.
a nice community building thing.
It is such a nice community building thing.
I've
So
heard that
what's an
once you do them.
alternative that you could do instead of a home? Like, I like the coming in and playing thing. Coming into the school and playing. Maybe you just set up a 8 to 3 on a Friday or a Thursday before the first day of school, and anybody can come in. It's just an open free play day, and then all
Yeah.
the teachers are there,
Yeah.
and you just, if you want to utilize it, come in and play and meet the teachers and spend some time with us. And if you have it for 8 hours, and
Yeah.
if you know a whole day, then people will come sporadically, and you'll be able to spend some quality time. If there's, oh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. And that way, kids that need to come in and spend a long time there have that freedom too.
Totally.
Yeah.
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 I like that idea.
I have another thing that we do to make kids feel welcome.
Okay,
It's
tell
gonna
me.
be a crazy one.
Okay.
We have assigned seats.
Yeah.
And I know that that might not initially feel welcoming, but the pressure to find a seat when you don't know anyone in a room, you know what that's like when you go to a
Yeah.
new class, you don't know anybody, none of your friends are there. Or maybe your friends are there, but like what if they're in seats next to each other? So we do assign seats where we try to sit kids that know each other next to each other in the beginning of the year. And it helps relieve that stress and it helps build friendships right away because they're in the same spot. So they can get to know the person next to them. They know that, oh, my cousin's gonna be there and he's next to me. It's that extra security too. And
So when you
we always have
do
it
you
ready before the like welcome back open house
Okay.
so that kids can find their chair and they see like, oh, look, you're sitting next to Billy and George. You know Billy and George? Just to kind of get them to feel like there's their name in their classroom. We've been thinking of them.
Yeah.
And I go back and forth about the assigned seats because I at a certain point I feel like it's silly.
Right. So,
But
what point of the day do they use those?
for snack and stuff. Snack
Okay.
and lunch mainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, how could we have, like, we utilize carpet squares sometimes, not all the
Yeah.
time. And they're the letters of the alphabet. And so the first year Butterfly Hill was open, we assigned them. Or kids got to pick it when they came in for back to school night or whatever, orientation, open house. And they got to pick their carpet square. And that
Ooh.
was their carpet square for the year. This year, I didn't do carpet squares. But now, as the year goes on, and kids are like such best friends,
Yeah.
and circle time. Because we do a little bit of a structured circle time. It's like the only one of the only really structured things during our day. And not everybody has to participate in circle time, but we do have an actual time between cleanup and snack where we all are at circle time so that snack can be prepared. Kids like to touchy-feely put their, tackle their friend on the carpet. And so I utilize carpet squares every once in a while to keep them apart from each other a little bit so it's not so distracting to everybody around. But I'm trying to think how we could do it. So do you put their name like laminated onto the table, like sticker taped on
We
there?
put it on the chairs.
Oh, okay.
So they have a chair and that it can be weird at the beginning of the year 'cause some kids are like, "Well, that's my chair. You can't sit in it for anything." But we establish
Okay.
like this is the place where you eat when we all are sitting at the table. That way we all have enough
Yes.
room.
Yes.
And when there's other stuff out, go to what's fun. Because there are also kids that just sit there and like, oh, I want to play with Play-Doh, but my chair's over here. Like,
Right.
no, this is the eating chair.
Here's a idea of something. Well, this is what we do. Every child has their own name rock.
Oh.
So they get to pick their name rock the first day of school. They pick which rock is theirs, and they have to sniff it to make sure we smell it to see where the rock came from. because every awesome. Rock smells different. I don't know if you've ever smelled rocks, but they do. They smell
they
different.
Do.
It's crazy. So then we write their name on it in black permanent marker. And then that's what we use to hold their snack place. So then the teacher takes it. So you could, if you wanted to get rid of having the names on the chairs, is have everybody have a name rock or something with their name on it. And then you could have like the map of where the tables are and which child is where that first month of school. And then this mm-hmm. person who's getting snack ready can set the name rocks or whatever it is on the table in the same pattern right before snack. And then you could, like, we use it for name recognition too.
Mm-hmm.
For
same for us.
Yes, having to find their name and then it starts to be like, ooh, who's sitting next to me today? Oh, and then they start recognizing other people's names because they want to see who's sitting next to them. So
that's, do you change it up a lot?
Yeah, it's different every day. They sit by different people every
cool.
day. Yeah.
Cool.
It's just it's random, usually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
I'm trying to think how else we make children feel like a sense of belonging. We are, and this maybe should be done at the beginning of the school year, but this time of year, we start sending home Lottie Leopard, Tina Tiger, and Pippi Panda, and they have their own travel journal with them. And
cool.
so families get them over a long weekend, so they send them home Thursday, and then they have to bring them back by Tuesday. And that bear from school does everything with the child, and parents take pictures of it, and then they print off the pictures and put them in the travel journal and write us the stories about what they did with Pippi Panda or Lottie Leopard. And then they bring it back to school, and we show the whole class where they went on their last adventure.
That's
so that might
great.
Be a cool way to connect school to home and home to school,
mm-hmm.
but maybe at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, instead of waiting till later in the year,
yeah,
near the beginning.
Yeah.
We, at one of the first preschools I worked at, every kid brought in a box, like a shoe box full of special things.
Mm.
And then they would take turns telling about the special things. That was kind of a fun way to see.
That is fun. We do a couple other things that we do. Well, we did show and tell.
Ugh.
I started to despise it because
yeah.
it was like, kids would bring in something, like, you know, their Buzz Lightyear toy, and who cares? Yeah, sorry, it might be their favorite toy in the whole world, but we really wanted them to bring in something that was special to them. Like,
yeah.
So it always ends up being like a toy.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to give suggestions like a picture of your family on your last vacation or your blanket from when you were a baby. And we tried to give suggestions like that, but kids want to bring in their favorite toy of that day.
Yeah.
So then we open it up for other kids to ask them questions. And it's the same questions all the time. It's, do you love it? Do you sleep with it? Is it your favorite thing? And it just becomes this, like, monotonous, like, thing that's just the same over and over and over and over. And I thought it was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Like, for me. So I, like, did away with it. And we don't even do it at all in my classes anymore. Which my co-teacher still does it. And then every time there's circle time and I hear the same exact questions, I'm like, oh, this is such a waste of 10 minutes. Like, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's like really good for the kids to do that. I don't know. What do you think?
I also did away with sharing for the exact same reason. I think if it was one kid, it was their special day to bring in to talk about something they want to talk about, I'd much rather them get up and tell a story.
Yeah.
Tell us a story. Tell us about. And we've been, Nikki and I went to see Michael Lehman.
Yeah.
At a conference recently. And watching videos of teachers and volunteers at his school write down kids' stories, we have been in story mode like crazy.
Oh.
And I've learned so much about kids. And why can't you read those stories to the kids too?
I like that idea. I actually went to a preschool, the Dodge Nature Preschool in St. Paul, and the really cool thing that they did was they would do the stories like Bev Boss and write them down, dictate one page they kept it to, and then the children illustrated on the back of the page. And then the teacher, they would go sit it on the teacher's chair. So then during their group time, they would read whatever stories were on the chair and show the picture as they read it. And then after they read it, they would act it out.
So yeah.
They would circle the people or the characters in it, and then they would underline the places or something like that. And then they would get to invite some of their friends up to act it out with them, and then they acted it out. We've done it a few times at our preschool, but it's not become like a daily thing. But I really
do that for birthdays. We have a birthday book. And on your birthday, you get to add a special story, whatever story you want, to the birthday book, and we act it out.
Oh, I love that. Because then it's like
one
time. Because otherwise, you could spend your whole entire group time every day acting out everybody's stories.
Yeah, because it's fun.
I love that birthday book idea. Can I have that idea?
Take it.
Woo! I like that. Okay.
That's our tradition. That might be the last, since we are now way over time, because we had a lot to say about this.
What
would you do? I was going to say one more thing, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh.
So what would you do?
Okay. So if you were to be reincarnated as any object.
Oh.
Not a person. Or animal. What object would you want to be reincarnated as?
That is a really hard question. I'm tempted to say something like a radio.
Okay.
Because you would get to experience so much. Right?
Yeah.
You would get to, like, play music and play radio shows, and you could learn stuff, and you could listen to stuff. But you could also, you know, be, like, the bringer of emotion in a really interesting way.
Right.
Like, play Tim McGraw's Don't Take the Girl, and then everybody cries. Not that I want to make everybody cry, but, like, what other objects have that impact? Or is that
a cop-out?
I don't know.
No, I don't think that is.
TV might be not as fun. I would pick radio over TV.
I have no idea. I actually haven't even thought about this question. I just came up with it, knowing that I was going to ask you.
Could you be a plant? Could you be a tree? And then, you know, giving tree style? Can't be living. No, okay, no trees.
Part of me wants to say, because thinking about the last what would you do question, one that we did a few episodes back about what would you be if you could be anything without education being a barrier or... Mm-hmm. I said author, but I thought, no, astronaut.
Oh, did you just watch The Martian?
No.
I feel like you've been bringing up
space is one of my passions. I love outer space. I love anything about it. So I think I would be a spaceship.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cause I could just travel and way up into go places far away. Or like some sort of a
probe.
I don't know. Something cool like that.
Wow, that's an awesome answer. Because you also wouldn't be terrified of, suddenly you won't be able to breathe because you don't need to breathe.
Uh huh.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll rethink it later on today and then change it.
Well, right. Kristen.
Well, Tiffany.
It's been fun. See you next time on Q&A. With T and K.
Bye.
This has been Q&A with T and K. Thank you for listening. From serious to silly, Tiffany and Kristen are eager to answer your questions. Just email them to q4tnk@gmail.com. That's q4tandk@gmail.com. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Kurt Pearsall, Tiffany's sweet, sweet hubby.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.